It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We've got an interesting show for you today. We're going to check on some news about the tease the new F-150, some updates to the Jaguar I-Pace, and the next advancements in Apple CarPlay. It's a technology that a lot of us seem to be relying on more and more. But before we get started, a word from our friends at Geico. You know, we are, though we're apart these days, we are sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks for that. Thanks for sharing all your cool videos, your dance videos, pet videos, dance moves, DIY haircut fails, all the fun stuff that you guys are posting. And now it's Geico's turn to share as well with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for both new and current customers. And because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback. That's geico.com/giveback. Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good, buddy. You like my different... Well, you can't really see my background. I'm trying to change it up.
Yeah,
I got the little pink flowers in the trees. And, you know, it's my sensitive side today on the show.
I like it. Always moving around. And it's good, man. Just let's say welcome back to our friends at Dodge. It's time for Dodge Power Dollars. That means for every horsepower of your new car, you get $10 off the purchase of a Dodge Charger, Dodge Challenger, Durango. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars today and feel pretty sweet.
Hey, can I expand upon that real quick? Just Gage had a date. He had like a, you know, his girlfriend came to his baseball game the other day.
Nice.
And I'll get to the best part of it. So he invites her over. She comes over to swim, and her father comes and picks her up, and he's driving a Trackhawk.
Oh, the Trackhawk.
Gotta love that, right?
Yeah. Have you had seat time in the Trackhawk yet?
I have never driven in one or driven one.
It's good. Yes. It's good because, well, first of all, it's got the power, right? And it's got the sound. And then when you add all-wheel drive, it does give you that crazy amount of traction. And then you start realizing it does things that an SUV shouldn't be doing. Like, it's incredibly fast. Like, I get it now. We've got some pretty crazy SUVs out there, Porsche Cayenne, you know, turbos and Lamborghini Urus and whatever. But I had a lot of fun in that Trackhawk, and I know the question comes up. It's come up a few times.
How would you compare?
Do you spend $100,000 getting a Trackhawk, or do you spend $100,000 getting some other crazy SUV? There's some out there, give or take, a few bucks on $100,000. And my answer to it is this. If you want to modify it, get the Trackhawk. If you just want to get it or lease it and enjoy it and that's it, you can get any one of the others. But the beauty of the Trackhawk is, you've heard us talk about it, is you can make that thing 1,000 horsepower with not a lot of effort, and it can take it. It can handle that kind of behavior. in the beating.
And that's the next step. After we conversed for about 15 minutes, yeah. It came to my attention that he was bringing it up to 1,000 horsepower, so I'm hooking him up with Gearhead. So.
Well, there you go. So
that's pretty funny, man.
Right. Now Gage can't break up with the girl because you and the dad are best buds now.
Yeah. But at least we got the car thing going. And the bald head. I got him by about 100 pounds, but it's all good.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got kind of a schedule today. We've got another show going on. You've got some stuff going on. So we're not going to blaze through this, but we're going to keep things tight as far as our schedule today. We have some fun stuff in the news. We've got new F-150. This is a huge deal for Ford, right? They sell a ton of these trucks. It's very profitable for them. And the launch of an F-150 and the success of an F-150 is absolutely vital to a company like Ford, especially after so many of these companies have been shut down. Cars haven't been sold. Cars haven't been manufactured. They're still paying like salaries for people. Like, you know, there's obviously the whole pandemic thing going on. So this is so important.
This will be a virtual launch.
It will be a virtual launch. We do have the Ford Bronco coming up in July. Coincidentally, it was on OJ's birthday. Everybody made a huff about it. It wasn't on purpose. Ford just picked a date. And I think it was supposed to be July 9th. Excuse me. And then it's been
bumped. I don't want to get in trouble, but the PR for Ford and the PR for the president have the same motive operandi when they were scheduling these big events.
I don't know. Well, Ford bumped theirs to the 13th now. So Ford Bronco coming later, but we're in the studio today. It's Wednesday. It's the 24th of June. The show should get posted today. And then tomorrow evening is the F-150 unveiling. And what I'd like to do is as part of that, let's next week maybe have Alistair Weaver come back into the studio and usually gets a little bit more insight on these things. Oftentimes even invited up to drive it, and then he's embargoed on what he's allowed to say. So I spoke with him and said, well, I don't want to wait 2 weeks, so let's just have the unveiling, then have you come in and do something, and probably the same thing right after Bronco launches mid-July. So hopefully we'll get some more insight about that. But this is kind of what we know so far is Ford doesn't want a huge departure in the look of the truck. Yeah, they're gonna change up the headlights a little bit and maybe a little bit of the, you know, some of the lines or the grooves and shape of the hood and some things like that. Just a refined look, because the current look has been very successful for them. So this is an evolution of it. This isn't a huge departure in the design. But they are taking a page out of Dodge's book. Dodge had a very, very high-rated truck, their Ram. I understand it's not really Dodge, but you know what I mean by Dodge's.
No problem.
But the Ram was very successful, and one of the standout features was the much larger screen, the big like split screen where you can do CarPlay on the top and the other functions on the bottom. So expect Ford to do something along those lines. I like them in the truck because there's so much more you can do with them, and it's not a huge screen tacked onto the top of the dash. It just sort of floats there like an iPad. Hopefully not. I mean, Dodge's or a Ram's seems to be much more integrated because they have a much more real estate on the dash to do something like that. So I would expect to see a much larger screen on the dash. Expect to see a digital dash in the gauges. We've seen that in the new Mustangs, which is cool because when you turn it into the different modes, the sport mode and the track mode, it changes the layout of all the gauges. Mm-hmm. It gets rid of some of the things that you don't need and gives you some of the things you do need. And you can start to, like in the Mustang in particular, because you essentially have this computer screen on the dash, you can put in, you know, the Christmas tree for drag racing and the two-step.
Yeah, you can customize it.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of stuff like that, as well as shift lights and whatnot. So you can do some things like that. So probably gives them the opportunity to do it. And then also possibly a hybrid or even a straight-up EV F-150. And, of course, that digital dash gives them the ability to possibly have one dash, one fitment, one piece of hardware and go, oh, well, on the EV version, all the graphics are changed and on, you know, or the hybrid version. So, and then the other thing that you're going to find in the F-150 that I think is pretty significant, and more cars are doing this, are over the air updates. This is something that Tesla has been doing and other car companies are rolling it out, but you're able to – you guys have heard this about Tesla and other things. You're able to roll out new features, do updates to the software, and so much of the vehicle is software now. I'm not just talking about an infotainment system. Very famously, when there were the floods in Texas, Tesla was able to send out over the air an extended range software package to Teslas that may have been stranded or trying to leave town during those floods. Obviously, it would reduce performance. You can't change the battery, possibly reduce performance, but increase range for those people that needed it or wanted that option at the time when they were trying to leave town because of all those floods. So we could do some cool things with over-the-air updates. I think having those things for any vehicle, especially something as popular as an F-150, could be pretty cool, because now you can start to roll out. By the way, you could arguably roll out engine tuning of some sort. So maybe in the aftermarket world, you can go to you know your company going, hey, I want to do a tune, but you know, there's a lot of mail order tunes, and they load up a tune and they email it to you, and you load it in your handheld tuner or something like that. I don't know if the aftermarket has access to over the air updates, but it would be interesting to, like you were saying, you mentioned Gearhead, would call up Mario at Gearhead and go, hey man, I got a new RAM. It has over the air updates, for example.
Send me a new program,
and,
please.
And he'd be like, okay. And then he just taps away on the old laptop there, and it uploads right into your truck. I don't know if it's going to be quite like that, because if you can get that kind of access, then everything becomes hackable. You know, everything is going to be hackable at some point, like with enough.
When it gets to that point, everything will be hackable.
Right. It's what you need is a demand for it, right? It's like, hey, if something needs to be hacked or wants to be hacked by a large enough group of people, it's going to happen. So actually, now that I think about it, I think there was an episode of NCIS Los Angeles that you might have been in, where at the beginning of the episode was somebody was driving a car and the car's computer essentially got hacked. And it like shut down the car or crashed the car or something. Now, the funny part of it is they needed to destroy a car. So they took like a 1999 Mercury Sable, which clearly we did not have any hackable over-the-air updates or something. So,
man, you can't be so perceptive when you watch these shows.
But I liked what they were doing. They're like, hey, we need to keep it modern. So let's make the car like we access the car. Computer and shut it down or crash it or kill the brakes or whatever. I was like, okay, I get it. Like it. Like where you're at. Cut to Mercury Sable. What? I'm like, no. Yeah. Look, good show. Love the show. But at least they're also smart enough to go, yeah, let's not wreck a brand new Tesla Model 3 for the sake of storytelling. Let's just say, let's wreck the $1,500 Mercury.
Hopefully that detail will be overlooked in post.
It was not overlooked by me. Anyway, so digital dash over the update, over the air updates, larger touchscreen, possibly a fold down rear seat that can act as a bed. Maybe not for you.
No.
Like we said, possibly a hybrid, possibly an EV. And it would be kind of cool to also see a Raptor announcement. Now, typically you would hold that off for a year and go, hey, here's a new F-150. Let's get some out there. Let's get some tested. And then to keep it fresh, go, oh, yeah, in a year, now we've got a Raptor, right? But
these times may change that strategy, I don't know.
They could certainly do the announcement and say new F-150 will roll out, end of this year, beginning of next year. And then, October 21, expect a Raptor. They could just give it a teaser, something along the lines of that. So people could sort of plan their shopping. Or if you currently have a Raptor and you're wondering, do I want to trade it in or sell it or get something new? But the rumor on the Raptor is it could go back to V8 engine, which is good. That being said, the next vehicle that has some news and some updates, very welcome updates, is the Jaguar I-Pace. The Jaguar I-Pace is the electric vehicle from Jag. I drove it. I kind of liked it. I liked it for LA. It's interesting because I just got, this is a little out of character for us, but I just got a loaner today, basically last night, for the Chevy Bolt, the all-electric Chevy Bolt. It's the I guess you could call it a Chevy Volt replacement, but the Bolt came out before they were done with the Volt. And yeah, driving it here, it's the interior is a little sparse and the seats are flat. It kind of feels like a big golf cart. And but I will say,
it essentially is.
But the range is better. It's quiet. It has pretty decent power. Getting onto the freeway and the on ramps and smashing the throttle down and. It seems to scoot along pretty good. One of the things I did notice was, and I'll get into it more as I drive it more, was for a tiny car with a short wheelbase, it was pretty comfortable. You would expect it to be a bumpier ride because of that short wheelbase, and it rode very nice. I'll tell you what, it rides a lot nicer than my truck. And granted, the truck's 25 years old, but... and I've got to make some revisions to that to make it better to smooth it out. We're going to play around with spring rates and shock tuning and stuff like that. But I was impressed by the ride quality of it. But, the rest just kind of felt like – we're trying to make these – yeah, it felt a little plain. And I know they're doing it because
– How was the range? What was the range on it?
So when I got in it, it said the max range was something like 274. That's what's on the dash.
Yeah.
And I think I left the house at like 240-ish, 230-something. And it was about 30 miles to get here. And it would seem to be pretty accurate. Now, granted, this morning we got a little bit of June gloom going on. So I just didn't use the climate control at all. Off. It wasn't on low. It wasn't on anything. It was off, and I would imagine on some small level, things like climate control, the stereo, even the stereo volume, how much power you're drawing. But we've been fortunate enough to drive so many interesting cars, fancy cars, that when you get into a car like the Bolt, and you go and you say, I get it. This is meant for the commuter. This is just for the commuter.
Different interpretation of transportation.
You're right. And as much as I like to get into a car and enjoy the driving portion of it, I wouldn't say this isn't the right car for that. You could have fun in this car, but this is meant to be the commuter car. This is meant to be, you plug it in at home and it's very simple. And they're trying to make it affordable by by investing in the batteries and the drivetrain and not necessarily in all the other bits and pieces. I don't know. I don't have the Monroney on it, so I don't know what the trim level is because they just dropped it off. I'll get the information. And are there, is there a premium trim model? Is there a leather interior? But the overall shape of the dash, and there's no, there's a bit of a center console, but it doesn't connect. So the dash is kind of one piece, and then there's a gap, and then there's the center console cup holders. That's also one of the things that kind of makes it feel like a golf cart is, when you get in the golf cart, you imagine it, there's sort of the two.
It's minimalist.
Yeah, there's doesn't have a cockpit feel to it like a lot of newer cars, even sports sedans and things like that have more wraparound. Certainly, an extreme example would be like a C8 Corvette. Would be
My biggest question would be, how does it feel comparatively being invisible when you drive to and from work?
Yeah, right. It's funny because at least this one is kind of a nice shade of red. It's kind of a metallic dark red, so it does stand out a little bit. It does feel a little bit small, but also it's a little bit like I kind of think about like your property. I know you run around on the UTVs and things like that, and I don't know. There's something very functional about the Bolt. You get the stripped down version with the biggest battery. You can open the back hatch. You can put the seats down, and it could be an on property utility vehicle. Yeah, you really could. Like, why not tow a little open trailer or something with it? Probably, look, if you wanted an electric version of what you were doing out there, and you didn't want the straight up golf cart. I kind of feel like this could play that role as well. I don't know.
I'm sure that was in their marketing plans when they rolled this thing out.
Yeah, right? Tow a little horse trailer behind it. I don't know. Do you think it would do that? It must do that. Anyway.
We had to shoot a commercial.
Jaguar I-Pace. When I drove it out here, I liked it. I thought it was quick. All-wheel drive. I believe all-wheel drive, if I remember that correctly. I think all-wheel drive. I want to say all-wheel drive, but two motors, not four. I think there's sort of a front axle and rear axle motor. I could be wrong on that. It's been a little while. I drove it right when it came out. I liked it. I thought it was quick. I thought it was a good size for the city, definitely larger than the Bolt, sort of compact SUV size. Enough ground clearance to not worry about sort of these steep angles and speed bumps and parking garages in LA, but not high like even, let's say, a RAV4. It's not quite that high. So it had a little bit lower stance. Actually, when you think about it, you think of my Ford Lightning, and I lowered it, not too much. So it clears, the parking blocks, in your parking lots and, when you roll up into the Costco or whatever. But
oh, yeah, I know them well. My signature's on many of them around here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So it clears that, but also feels low enough that it has a good stance and is good sporting. The Jaguar I-Pace was that way as well. It had storage front and rear, which was kind of interesting. But as we've said for quite a while now in the Jaguar Land Rover realm, the electronics are kind of subpar. The infotainment system is a little buggy. It's even slow. It's slow to boot up. It's slow when you pop it into reverse and the reverse camera's on. And then when you pop it back into drive, one of the things that Adam complained about in his Jag, he's like, hey, I put it back in drive and I'm halfway down the street and the camera's still on, in the back. Like, when does it start to shift over? So
Jaguars has issues with electronics for a very long time. And I can attest to that, having my father's XJS catching on fire, dropping me off in high school one time.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always said, look, there's, it makes sense to oftentimes outsource some of this stuff to a notable brand and get some cachet from that brand. Like, why not say, hey, Google, develop my infotainment system and say it's from Google or Apple or whatever, or Microsoft, like Ford's been doing with Sync. Now, I don't think it's called Microsoft Sync anymore. Now it's Ford's proprietary stuff, Sync 3. But it had a brand name on it. It was co-developed with them. And I think Ford does it all now in-house. And I think they have – I think Ford and several of these car companies now have like tech divisions in Silicon Valley and L.A. and whatever. So this is what we have is there are some more color choices. There is a bright pack and the black pack and the chrome. The bright pack has some chrome trim and the handles and on the grill. And the black pack has the black exterior trim pieces. So if you want that look and blacked out like logos and things like that, which is kind of cool. It has new 3D surround camera, which is interesting. It has their clear sight digital rear view mirror found off of the Range Rover Evoque. And then the new infotainment system, which replaces the old one. They've got different names for them. The PV Pro replaces, I don't know, some other version of it. I don't know what it is. But now there's a larger screen. It's a 12.3-inch screen. It has CarPlay and Android Auto integrated into it. And, of course, it has that feature that we were talking about that we like. It has built-in 4G cell connection, which provides live traffic. It provides navigation routes with real-time charging stations, like what's going on at the charging stations, and, of course, over-the-air updates, which a company like Jag could really benefit from. I see that as a huge selling point for a company like them going, hey, you know, they want to roll out some updates, or if they find a bug, like you would on your iPhone or your cell phone, and be like, hey, you know, there's a security patch, or there's, you know, or a new app has been released, and the app is a little buggy when it turns on the camera or something, right? So over the air updates, I'm a big fan of. The system's supposed to load up quicker, be quicker overall. And the other thing is the Jaguar has a slightly different battery in it now. It doesn't increase the range or the performance, but it does allow for faster charging times. So it's interesting because one of the things we've spoke about, arguably complained about, was the infrastructure for charging electric vehicles. And I know all the car companies are going, yeah, but that's not what it's for. It's for that commuter guy, like the Chevy Bolt guy going, you drive it to work, you drive it home, you plug it in. But if you want to plug it in outside of work or home, we still have a very subpar infrastructure. Even in something like LA, where you think there would be chargers available in more places, it's really not. And the few that are there are always taken. They're always full. So Jaguar is at least acknowledging that and saying, hey, we will do a little bit faster charge. It's not about going from 0 to 100% charge. It's if you plug the thing in for 30 minutes, how much charge can you get? Are you going to get 20 miles or are you going to get 30 miles? It doesn't sound like much, but it is a big jump. So if you can, you know, if you can plug it in for a little while during lunch break or something and pick up 30 miles, that could make the difference. Like, you know, I live in Venice. I'm out here in Glendale. It's basically 30 miles. And if I could go grab a sandwich someplace or come in and do the podcast and plug it in and pick up 30 miles of range, that's huge. You know, 20 miles wouldn't get me home. You know, 30 miles would. So like some of the updates on that, I think that's kind of neat. And I think we're going to start to see more and more of that stuff is especially now, which is interesting, now in this pandemic world, people are a little hesitant on bringing their cars to the dealer to get updates done and get maintenance done. And if you can do it over the air, it's much more cost efficient for everybody. If you think about when you take your car in for warranty work, somebody has to pay for that. And it's usually the manufacturer paying the dealer, right? Somebody's paying for it. So if the manufacturer can kind of take that equation out, you know, for some of these things, then, you know,
that's
easier
huge.
For us. And it's more, I think it's a huge upsell. So, yeah. And Apple, speaking of CarPlay and technology, Apple's had their worldwide developer conference happening now. They do their new product release, I don't know, once or twice a year. I forgot what the event's called. And then they do their developer conference. And among other things, there were some updates to CarPlay. It's not really changing the interface for CarPlay, but those of us that do use it and rely on it and want to be able to alter it. CarPlay now has, or will as they roll this out, you can customize the background or the wallpaper or whatever you want to call it. So you can do something kind of cool, put the car brand name, logo, or something, your own brand in there. So you can customize that. There are three new categories allowable within the interface: parking, EV charging, and food ordering, which is kind of neat. And we can dig into the details of that at some point. But I imagine so many people are like rolling up and going, hey, hey, Cheesecake Factory, bring me my 14-pound omelet and and a slice of chocolate cake at curbside pickup. Maybe there's a way to do that via the system to make it simple. Or maybe it's just Uber apps, you know, just like, I want my Uber Eats, and you can just place the order while you're driving instead of having to pull over to scroll through or have a buddy do it for you, which is kind of interesting. And then car companies are rolling out this phone as a key. Phone as a key, I think, is Ford's phrase that they're using. And I did a drive with them. I think it was in like Carmel and whatnot, Monterey area, and with the Lincoln, and we experimented with this phone as a key. You could obviously use the key fob and get in the vehicle. You can use the keypad on the door that Ford and Lincoln have, or your phone. You use the app on your phone, and you can kind of just walk up, and it'll open the doors and access stuff. So there's an expansion on that, working with Apple and the car companies, where I could give you access. Let's say I'm out of town, or for example, let's say Bill, you keep a car out here in LA when you come out here to film, but you live in Texas, and you say, hey, you know, can you move my car? I'm having work done at the shop. Great. You can send me a text message, and it'll give me access to your phone via text. I'm sure some authentication process, password process and stuff, and go, all right, so now I can walk up to your car out here anywhere, fire it up, move it if I need to, do whatever, and then give the control back to you. It's neat because this control, this phone as a key stuff, should be accessible on the Apple iWatch as well. So you don't even need to take your phone out of your pocket if you got the Apple iWatch.
God.
So it's turning into some James Bond shit. This is some pretty techie stuff. The initial rollout for these will be a lot of the BMW models, and then BMW and Ford were working with Apple on the different routes that you take for EVs and for the EV charging stations. We talked about the Jaguar I-Pace having 4G and giving you access to real-time charging station network. Well, Apple CarPlay is going to have that feature in it as well, which hopefully will be accessible to any electric vehicle that uses CarPlay. Will be able to access that, sort of a generic or universal version of that. It wouldn't have to be proprietary to Jaguar. It would be available to anybody using it. So kind of neat. Some pretty cool stuff there as well. Let's do another shout out to our friends at Dodge. Summertime is the best time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle, because Dodge Power Dollars means you get a guaranteed discount. The math is simple. You get $10 off based on the total horsepower of your Dodge vehicle. So every 2020 Dodge Challenger, every 2020 Dodge Durango, and every 20 Dodge Charger, you get the most out of your horsepower this summer with $10 off for each horsepower. You can go out there. You can enjoy the sweet sounds of the Dodge Charger SRT Scat Pack. 485 horsepower. You can get $4,850 off if you do that. And this summer, Dodge Power Dollars is back on the Dodge Durango as well. This is cool. When you're behind the wheel of a Durango, you're behind the wheel of a performance-driven SUV. And whether you're rolling out with family or friends, you'll be able to fit everyone with the Durango's 7-passenger seating capacity. So you get more power, you get more off. It's that simple. Hurry into your local Dodge dealer now to take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. And now that dealers are open, you can go and do that. Or if you don't want to go, just call them like you did last month or the month before.
The month before.
Good. What's going on with you? What's going on over there? You're working on the garage, working on the car.
Oh man, yeah, yeah. I don't want to talk about the garage yet. We haven't broken ground. Another week's gone by, unfortunately. But you know, it was the sound studio. I had to refine the drawing, so they could finalize it. It was resubmitted. All the turbo parts on the Charger are going out. The powder coating. So we're getting closer there, and. That's it for me right
yeah.
now.
It's know? Good. When you guys are getting
in that space.
When you guys are getting into that that studio, I know it's just sort of the shape of it now for the permits, but be sure to talk to Chris over here. He can tell you what to
Don't think his phone won't be ringing right when I need to
what the hell to put in there.
Yeah, absolutely. You. No question. Thank you very much. Very much. Way past due. But
yeah,
I'm very much looking forward to it. Wanda's Barn's finishing up. So the next project, obviously, is the garage. And, you know, I don't want to talk about it right now.
Right
it
on.
Needs to be done. Like,
Yeah. And it's eager. Like, you want to get it done and you're seeing the plans. You get excited about it. And I know you got cars scattered in storage and things like that. You kind of want to get settled in over there. And I know you guys have been doing that for a while now. Certainly.
Well, your life's completely upside down because, 75% of my life is my cars and working out. And I don't have access to either one of them at this point on my property.
Yeah.
So it's a weird deal.
And I know how
I'm not whole until that happens.
And I know you can get, I get this way too. I get a little antsy because like you were saying, like we've been talking about is that there's only so much work we can do. We can't go out and do live events. Only now things are starting to open up where you can go out and shoot some TV or film or whatever. You explained to us many times sort of the atmosphere at WWE, and you're not obligated to wrestle at this time, but that whole thing is still just, there's no audience. It's a different dynamic. And so a lot of us are still at home going, I want to finish the projects at home before things kick in again. Like when you are able
exactly.
to go out and film, TV shows and start, doing like even the pitches now.
Then you're not going to have the time. Yeah, then you're not going to have the time to do any of it.
So yeah, so
the hands-on time is out of the question at that point. But hey, man, it is what it is.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
But I get it. I get it. So,
how about the truck?
Yeah, so the truck, not a ton of updates, but I explained the steering issue with you guys last week on the steering box because I have a front steer linkage. It would turn backwards, basically. But backing up a trailer, I'm sure it's fantastic. but driving around, this is what we've concluded. As much as I want the quick ratio 12-1 box, there isn't a gear set available that's reverse that's 12-1. Now, I don't know what the truck has, 16, 18, whatever. It's sloppy. But there's a group out here that builds custom steering boxes. They build them for the street. They build them for racing cars. And they are building a 14-1 reverse rotation box valved up specifically for the weight of the vehicle. It's going to get us very close to what we want. We'll see. There also may be way to improve the ratio. So I'm going to try it at the 14-1, which will be a huge improvement. It's about 3 turns lock to lock versus 2.5 turns.
25.
You know,
what it was.
So it's only like another quarter turn to the left or quarter turn to the right. It's probably going to be fine. That combined with the tightness of a new steering box and the elimination of the rag joint and the solid steering shaft and all new steering components, it's going to be a huge difference. Plus the feedback. It's not going to feel super light and like it's darting all over the road. It's going to have a little bit more of a solid feedback in as far as the pressure for the power steering and stuff, and which, mm-hmm. by the way, we'll be able to tune. We can change some of the valving on if we want to. For example, when we do switch to the new motor – And it's all aluminum. I don't think it's going to cut a huge difference off the front end. But if we feel like the front end is now a little too light for the steering, we can add a little more feedback to the steering. But if you think about this, I haven't looked in to the different Pitman arms, but a lot of times you can change the length of the Pitman arm, which mm-hmm. would increase or decrease the ratio of the steering.
The ratio.
There's, you know, so we may be able to get away with a longer Pitman arm. Now, the way this steering linkage is set up, I'm not exactly sure. I haven't looked at it yet, but if we get this built up in the 14-to-1 ratio, and I feel like it needs a little bit more, we could play around with that. And the Pitman arm is a fairly easy swap. Where it hangs down, it's pretty easy to access. Two bolts, one on the linkage, one on the steering box, and I might be able to find one that's a little bit different length. Swap it in, try it, see what happens. And if I don't like it, I could put it back. I honestly think it could be done in probably 30 minutes. You know, it's splined. You line it up. You can mark it. You know, you can go down there, just mark it with a Sharpie or a marker, and go, this is where it's lined up. Put the new one on, and try it that way.
Sure hope it works, man. I hope it works.
Yeah. So, these guys pulled the specs of the Flaming River box, and I said, look, I know there's the Saginaw box. There's the other ones. There's the 3-bolt, the 4-bolt. We've already done the work on mounting this thing. I need the exact same case. So you need to find the case, build the box. And they said, fine, done. I said, the spline count is the 3/4 inch 30. And he's like, done. And because they're basically building this for us, we should be able to get it the way we want. And I think it'll work out fine. And if anybody is interested in a brand new, never used, only mounted once Flaming River steering box that they want to buy, I have one for you. I'll give you a nice little discount on it.
Great product.
Yeah. I tell you, like when you put it up on the rack and I was steering it, we didn't even put the wheels on it, didn't put it down on the ground. It was nice, super tight, works great, super smooth. I just gotta reverse it. Now, there's probably some way to do the inline reversal gear or move the box slightly to maybe to the other side of the steering linkage and custom weld it and change the steering shaft. But the easy solution right now is just go with the box that these guys are gonna build. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I was sensitive to the fact that the guys at Galpin Autosports had my truck up on their lift in their main area where they have a lot of high volume. And I said, I didn't want the truck to be taking up your lift for 2 weeks. So I pulled the trigger on having this box made, and these guys said they can rush it and get it done in about a week, which is probably about as much time as Galpin needs to put together the rear differential. They get the housing back from powder coating, and then they're going to, you know, so they're going to assemble the differential with the new axles, and then they're going to lower it. They did all my AC components, all fresh AC components, charge the system. So probably when they're done with all of that stuff, the steering box will be in. It should be an easy swap because now it's just the 4 bolts and essentially that's it, you know, and the steering shaft and the Pitman arm. But it's an easy mount. It's very accessible where it is on the frame. And these guys have done it already a couple of times in fitting this. So it can be swapped out in, you know, 30 minutes. I'm excited to get it back. I think it's going to be interesting. Going over there and seeing the truck up on the lift, I just sit there and I'm just scratching my chin going, yeah, I don't know about the leaf springs in the back. And when I lowered it, the frame's not notched, so you only get like In the back, even though I cut the bump stops on the suspension, there's only about 2 inches of travel before you still hit the cut bump stops, right? So, it's a weird thing. It's like when you lower these trucks, and we talked about the ride quality, and the ride quality is still kind of bumpy. It's going to require some shock tuning, which I'm working on, possibly spring, but it's going to be mostly the shock. When I first lowered it and didn't cut the bump stops, there was only about an inch of space between the axle housing and the bump stop. So when you would hit a bump, it would hit that bump stop and bounce. Like it would definitely bounce and kind of really make the truck unstable. So I cut the bump stops down a little bit, added about another inch, and it's good. But on big bumps or if you've got stuff in the back of the truck, I've been rolling around with a bunch of parts in the back. So it still feels like it's hitting it a little bit. And that with you know, kind of some universal sort of de facto shock tuning, I think it can be improved because the default mode of this truck is you know, whatever, it's meant to tow a certain amount and has a payload of a certain amount. But these days, because we're doing something custom, we can do whatever we want with that. I'm thinking about a four link with a coilover that is adjustable. I could change the springs if I want. I can change the ride height if I want. And a slight notch on the frame. I don't want to notch the frame and tub the thing and cut out the wheel wells and lose the functionality of the truck. Yeah, a little bit of a C-notch, but just enough in the frame that I don't need to cut the frame up. There's kits available. I've looked at a bunch. And it can be done. It'll give me a four-link adjustable coilovers, more range on the shocks.
More travel
on the shocks, and probably some sort of panhard bar or something like that for the side to side movement, and we can tune it the way we want. And look, I'd
say go for it. That's going to be probably, you know, other than the performance of the motor stopping power, you know, the ride in that truck. I was just about to mention, you know, remember the suspension that KW put on the Challenger that was sitting next to you, my Challenger, the carbon car that was sitting next to you.
Yeah, the coilover was on it.
Well, I spoke to him last week and they're going to do it on the Charger too.
Oh,
and
nice.
In speaking to him, that was arguably the best upgrade I did to that car.
Yeah.
Period.
Oh,
I mean, all the other stuff is cool and responsive. This, the ability to take the car to where it, you know, if much further than you could if it was stock in a safe manner is huge. And the everyday ride comfort, absolutely the biggest thing, you know. So talking to him, it's just a big suggestion.
Yeah.
For sure. If you're going to drive that thing, because in the beginning, you weren't going to do shit to it. You're going to do one or two things, and now one thing's led to another, to another, to another.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drive that thing, man, you that's my suggestion.
I've got KWs on my M3. I got like the Stage 3.
Huge difference, didn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I was able to really kind of dial in the height. Actually, when the car was originally built, when Adam Carolla had the car built, there was an old set of coilovers, very new when the M3 came out in 2001. The ride was terrible, and it was too low. Yeah, hard, bumpy, too low, and it took the enjoyment out of it. And switching to the KWs, I was actually able to raise it a little bit, which made it easier to drive and rubbing tires and all the other stuff. And
fully adjustable. I don't know how many settings you had on it, but I got a number of them on mine.
Yeah, I've got the Stage 3, so they are fully adjustable. Here's a thought on the truck. I'll put out there to you truck guys, Bronco guys. The truck, the F-150 has the twin I-beam suspensions, these big long arms that go across. Mm-hmm. I have the drop beams from DJM. I'm happy with the main. They seem super beefy and actually lighter than the stock ones. I don't want to cut the whole front end off of this thing and bolt up some new type of suspension. I've just invested a lot into the steering. For those of you that are interested in the steering, this will be an easy solution for you guys, especially now that you can get a reverse rotation 14-to-1 gearbox. I'll let you know how it is. But what I would like to do is to dial in the height and the tuning of the shocks. And this this truck has a coil spring with a shock next to it, and it's what you would expect. There's a lower mount for the spring. There's an upper mount for the spring. And I know some of you off-road guys switch to a coilover system with a lift and whatever. I'm looking for, which we end up may make, is I'm looking for a bolt-on coilover conversion for that twin I-beam suspension. I just want to take out the coil spring and the shock and put in a coilover conversion without redoing the entire suspension. I'm sure there'll be some sort of lower mount we'll have to develop and an upper mount we'll have to develop, maybe some billet piece or whatever. Maybe even, I would say you'd have to beef it up, but I don't know that you need to because there's always a lot of enough pressure and stuff on what's currently there, the stamp steel where the coil spring sits into. And I would like to see a coilover conversion. And whatever, I could order the coilovers and the spring rates and stuff based on the angle of the shock and the angle of the coilover and the weight. And there's some calculations you can do to get yourself a pretty good spring rate. I'll match it up to whatever the proper spring rate is into the rear. I'll go to the same company, you know, I don't know, a QA1 or Hotchkiss or RideTech and say, can you work with me on developing a coilover for this? You know, pull something out of your parts catalog. Let's get the springs and the length and the eyelets and how it mounts. And there's enough universal stuff out there that we can probably get it to where we want it, but then be able to dial it in, right? And look, if I do say, hey, I'm going to hook up a trailer and I'm going to tow a car to the SEMA show, I'd like to be able to go underneath the back of the truck with my spanner wrench or something and adjust the coilovers or do an airbag, you know, not the compressor, but do a helper type of airbag system if I want on the four link or whatever. And, you know, still use it as a truck. But around town, I'm not really towing stuff. I'm not putting a ton of weight in the back. So I would like it to be a little bit more compliant ride. And I think we talk about adjustable suspension on a lot of cars, but how often do we adjust this stuff? And now that I start thinking about, you know, maybe you hit a track day and you do some adjustments, but I'm thinking about how you use a truck, it's more likely I'll alter the adjustments more in the truck than I would in, let's say, the BMW. I don't really...
If nothing else, it's easier to get to.
Yeah, it is. It's funny because,
you know, let's be honest. I mean, we're talking about ease here and Apple CarPlay and you've been able to text you my key.
Yeah. Okay. I got the ride height set on this truck where you guys seen the pictures. It's got a pretty good stance with the 18-inch wheels and the big brakes and stuff. It's just high enough that I can throw down a piece of cardboard and slide myself underneath the truck. You know, so when I was doing the speed sensor, the VSS in the rear housing, I would slide under, and if I got right under the differential, under the pumpkin, my nose would hit it, right? But I didn't have to use the jacks or the stands or anything, and I didn't have to slide under the pumpkin. I had plenty of room, but I'm just saying if I did get under that large – the largest portion of it, my nose would just hit it. But I could slide underneath that thing, get my hand up on top of the axle housing, get with a ratchet, pull the VSS out, file it down. And I ended up doing that like 18 times just to see, you know, if it made the difference. And I didn't have to jack the thing up every time. It's the perfect ride height for maintenance. So when you're talking about adjustability, if the adjustment is on the shock, on the coilover itself, and you access it from underneath, I can literally slide under there, wheels still on it, turn the dial so however I want, try
and
it,
you're done.
Drive it, and I'm done. You know, I mean, if you did a remote reservoir with the adjustability on it, it could be kind of cool to move that into the bed of the truck or something. But I don't necessarily need to. You can kind of get to it. So anyway, all right, that's good. Let's wrap it up. We've got another show to do, and I know you've got to run. You've got another engagement. But cool, man. Thank you. And hopefully next week, let's see if we can get Alistair back in. Let's talk new F-150. That's going to be kind of a big deal. And oh, by the way.
And you know, I think – Go ahead.
I was going to say, and we touched on this last week, and I was like, oh, maybe I should sell the M3 and get the new GT500 because I love it.
So?
$25,000 markup is the current rate. And you know how I feel about markups. Not going to happen.
Not happening.
Not happening. But anyway, that's it. What do you got? Anything else before we wrap it up?
I don't remember what I was going to say.
All right. Well, write it down.
That's how important it was.
Yep. Text it to me later. We'll hit it next week. Thanks, guys. I appreciate appreciate you guys listening. Thanks so much. Until next time, for Bill and myself and Chris, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Stay between the lines.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And we appreciate the kind words you say about us online, the nice ratings and the follows on social media. We'll keep sharing stuff. And speaking of sharing, though we are apart these days, we are sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks for that. Thanks for sharing all your cool videos and the fire-up videos, cold start videos, burnout videos, projects you guys are building, your car projects. We love to see all of that stuff. So it's Geico's turn to share as well. And they're doing their Geico Give Back. You've heard us talk about it. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. And because Geico's committed for that long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info. That's geico.com/giveback.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.